So therefore, in Buddhism, Shraddha, or faith, or the whole emotional and devotional side of the religious life, the spiritual life, should be balanced by what we call prajna, or wisdom, the second of the five spiritual senses, or five spiritual faculties. This represents, we may say, the whole intellectual and doctrinal side of Buddhism, prajna, or wisdom. And prajna, or wisdom, is of three kinds, technically. What we call the Shrutamaya prajna, what we call the Chintamaya, and what we call the Bhavanamaya. I'll just say a few words about each of these in turn. Shrutamaya means wisdom, or knowledge, or understanding, which comes by hearing. Suppose you all come here. Suppose you listen to the talk, listen to the lecture. And you understand something by hearing. You get it from somebody else. You haven't thought it out for yourself. You're receptive, you're passive. But when it's handed to you, when it's explained to you, you understand. So this is wisdom or knowledge based on hearing. Then there's Chintamaya. Chintamaya means based on thinking, your own individual thinking. You don't hear anything from anybody. You just start thinking in your own mind. You start understanding certain things as a result of your own mental processes, your own cogitation. So this is understanding based on original thinking, as we may call it. Then Bhavanamaya. Bhavana means meditation. Meditation in the sense of experience of higher states or stages of consciousness or superconsciousness. And Bhavanamaya Prajna is that wisdom, that knowledge, that understanding which grows out of meditation, out of one's own spiritual experience, not what one has heard, not what one has excogitated on the intellectual level, but what one sees, understands, or intuits, if you like, as a result of meditation, as a result of one's own spiritual, especially transcendental, experience. Now, it's very important, one might say, to distinguish between these three. We've all of us got some experience of all three kinds of wisdom. We've all understood as a result of hearing, which includes reading. We've all understood certain things as a result of independent thought. And we all, or perhaps most, or many of us at least, have some little glimpse of the truth through our spiritual experience, especially through our meditation. But we should be able to distinguish. Sometimes people talk as though they've experienced, or experienced in meditation, when they've only thought, or when they've only heard. So we should, as it were, take a sort of great survey of all our knowledge, all the things we understand, or think we understand, all the things we know, and just ask ourselves honestly, now, to which category do they all belong? How much have we merely heard? How much have we thought out for ourselves? How much have we actually realized? Of course, if we're honest, we'll realize that the first category is by far the largest. Most of what we know comes by hearing or comes by reading. Practically everything, 99%, practically we may say, we get at second hand. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how we have to start. Very, very few of us have got just a few original thoughts, we may say. Something we've really thought out for ourselves from beginning to end without any help at all. There are very few people who think originally. I might even like to say, ask yourselves, in the course of your whole lives, how many original thoughts have you had? How many thoughts have you had which you've never come across in your reading, you've never heard anyone else express, and which, as far as you know, are completely original? No one has ever thought that thought before. Even if you allow for, say, a slight nuance, a slight shade of difference, even taking that into consideration, giving you a very large latitude, how many people have even been able to excogitate something new in that way? Very, very few. So that shows how rare original thought is. Then Bhavanamaya, from experience, well, that's very, very little again. Even less of our knowledge comes from that source. Perhaps 0.1 or 0.1%, something like that. There's something there, no doubt, but very, very tiny, microscopic, infinitesimal, hardly perceptible. So it's very important to distinguish. Sometimes people speak as though they'd experienced everything, or at least as though they had thought out everything for themselves. But when you come down to rock bottom, it's only what they've heard, it's only what they've read. So we have to sort out these three categories and be quite clear in our own minds what of our knowledge we've gathered from other sources, by reading or hearing, what we've thought out for ourselves, and what we have actually experienced. These three kinds of prajna, wisdom, understanding, or knowledge. Now, broadly speaking, we may say prajna, or wisdom, or knowledge in Buddhism, is conterminous with the Dharma, with the Buddha's teaching, or with the understanding of that teaching. But more specifically, prajna, or wisdom, consists in seeing things as they really are, not as they appear to be. Seeing them as conditioned, as unsatisfactory, impermanent, devoid of selfhood. Seeing these three characteristics of all conditioned existence, all worldly existence, as we explained in one of the previous talks. And seeing in the same way the unconditioned as the opposite of all this, as free from all unsatisfactoriness, as blissful, free from all impermanence, as permanent, and not only devoid of self, but even devoid of any substantial individuality. The Mahayana form of Buddhism goes even further than this and says that prajna, or wisdom, consists in the seeing or the knowing or the realization of the non-difference between the conditioned and the unconditioned. In other words, it consists in the realization of the great shunyata, of wideness. But we're not going into that this afternoon. Now, the third of these three kinds of wisdom, that is Shrutamaya, Chintamaya, and Bhavanamaya, the third of these, strictly speaking, is neither intellectual in the narrow sense nor emotional either. It represents a sort of fusion of the two. But the other two, we may say, that is to say, knowledge or wisdom which comes by hearing, by learning, and knowledge or wisdom which comes by way of independent thought, these two are definitely intellectual, as opposed to being emotional. And they therefore can go to extremes. And in this sense, we may say prajna, or wisdom, that is, what is derived from hearing, what is derived from independent thought, can be sometimes a merely scholarly, academic sort of knowledge. I remember some years ago a friend of mine writing to me in Kalimpong from London was dwelling upon the writings of a certain Buddhist scholar, a very learned scholar, knowing the Buddhist languages very well. And this friend wrote that these writings are to me the last ounce of dust in desiccation. That was her rather caustic description. Because that is sometimes what we do find. We sometimes turn to these translations and books on Buddhism by scholars, looking for some inspiration and some spiritual guidance. And what do we get? Well, we get a long dissertation on the root of a certain technical term. And then in the end, perhaps the statement is made, well, we don't really know what it means after all. I remember my friend Lama Govinda was talking about this once after a visit to Europe. And he was saying to me, this is just by the way, he said these German Buddhists are quite different from the English ones. So I asked, what do you mean by that? He said, well, the German Buddhists, he said, their idea of a good lecture on Buddhism is this. You take one word and you give all the meanings of the word according to the dictionary. Then you give its meaning according to Buddhism, according to what Professor so-and-so says and Dr. so-and-so says and Herr Dr. Professor so-and-so says. About 20 or 30 of them, you go through one after the other, and then you conclude that they're all wrong. And he said, German Buddhists are absolutely fascinated by this sort of lecture. They love it. But he said, the English Buddhists are rather different. Now, this is quite in passing, but let me tell you what he said about the English Buddhist too. That might be rather interesting, because he's a German, and his view is presumably objective. He said, what I found about the English Buddhists is this, he said. They want in a lecture a view of the whole picture. He said, they're not satisfied with the view of a bit or a piece. They want to try to have a complete picture of the whole thing just in one lecture. They like to see it all in perspective. So he said, Though I'm of German descent, he said, I really felt much happier in England than I felt in Germany. He said, I wasn't at all happy about giving lectures on the meanings of words. So, one may say that wisdom, knowledge, in this sense, is really going to extremes. And so, we find in Buddhism, wisdom has to be balanced by faith, or Shraddha, just as faith has to be balanced by wisdom. So faith and wisdom are a pair, the intellectual and the emotional aspects of the spiritual life. They must be balanced. They must be in harmony. Neither must be allowed to preponderate over the other.